This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We take a look now at all things AGOA. Of course, this has been something that we've been following very carefully over the last few months because it's been a little bit tense, especially where South Africa is concerned. But what we do know now is that US senators have introduced an AGOA bill to renew that pact all the way up until 2041. This was a bipartisan group of senators, which means it includes Democrats and Republicans. It looks like, there was enough consensus around the importance of renewing AGOA. And also in ensuring that some of the suggestions that African countries had put on the table were certainly taken into consideration. And joining us this evening to unpack all of that and what it means for South Africa and the continent is Stavros Nicolaou. He's council member at the BRICS Business Council. Stavros, a pleasure. Good evening.
Donatella, thanks very much for having me. Good evening to all the listeners.
Thank you for chatting to us. It does look like this is something that Democrats and Republicans all agreed on, that AGOA was beneficial for them and worthy of renewing.
I think this is an immensely positive step. Of course, as you indicated earlier, it's not past the post yet, but certainly the signals are good. It's the Senate that's introduced the bill, a very important step, but however, the Congress is the one that needs to approve the bill. But certainly if a bipartisan bill has been placed before the Congress, that in itself is a very positive signal. We as the BRICS Business Council have always advocated that we need a close alignment between our economic security and foreign policy in the best interest of the country, in the best economic interest in the main. And that's why we welcome this step as a positive development. And it is akin to, I believe, aligning where our best economic interests lie for economic growth, employment, and all the other benefits one receives from a different economic trajectory to the one we are presently following.
So, Ross, it was touch and go for South Africa. At some point, I think we were concerned that we might lose our privileges in terms of the program. Are we convinced that we're out of the woods now?
It's very difficult to say when you sort of formally out the woods, and also very difficult to have assessed how close we were to losing these benefits. These things get hyped up for obvious reasons. It's part of negotiating and part of posturing. So very difficult to assess how close or how far away we were from losing these benefits. But I think what this does demonstrate to me is that we are paying slightly more attention to aligning economic and foreign policy of South Africa. But it also demonstrates to me that there are benefits on both sides. You know, the U.S. are not going to do this if it's not in their interest. And I think there are material benefits from the U.S., commodities and others. They're a big investor in South Africa or the U.S. and other parts of the continent. There is a somewhat of a contestation taking place for Africa akin to some people are calling it a new Cold War wave. So I think there are benefits on both sides, but for me the biggest benefit here is that economic development contributes to global peace and security, and that's not what we're seeing at the moment. There are many, many different parts of the world that are engaged in conflict, and the best way I feel to deal with conflict is through economic pacts, agreements of this nature. And economies, when they start producing jobs and other benefits, are the best way to achieve global peace and security. So that's how I would see this unfolding, by way of bilateral and mutual interest on both sides.
I'm actually glad you make mention of that, Sabah, because of course you do also make mention to the geopolitics of the day, which have really become super, super volatile. You've also been very vocal in the past that South Africa really needs to make sure that we're making decisions that are really, really good for us. Are we concerned about that, our ability to maneuver through this complex environment?
Look, I think there are going to be things that policy stances and postures that the rest of the world and, you know, other parts of the world don't always agree with on South, you know, South Africa's positioning. But I think what is important is that we advance those with a balance between the economic and the foreign policy, as I said earlier. Mm-hmm. We should always consider and take into account that we have a pedestrian economy at the moment. We have record housing unemployment. And we've got to take all of these considerations into account as we position and posture ourselves. But I think what this has just demonstrated to me, there are going to be times where we will have differences in policy opinion with the East, the West, and possibly even the South. But engagement and ongoing dialogue and looking at where the best mutual interests lie are the best ways to navigate what has become an increasingly difficult and uncertain geopolitical terrain, probably unlike any other that we've seen in the last 5 decades, certainly not since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Are we seeing these type of geopolitical challenges manifesting? And I think we need to be proactive around these as South Africa and look at where our best interests always lie.
Absolutely agree with you, Stavros. I must also ask you about then, you know, being strategic as a country here in ensuring that as AGOA is renewed and, you know, that's assuming that all things go well on that front, how can we also make sure that, you know, we just do better? We use this program to benefit ourselves. Are there certain policies we should have in place? Are there certain programs we should have in place just to ensure that we're literally getting every little bit out of it as possible?
You know, the stellar performer in recent times has been India. Mm. And India, in my view, has struck a very delicate and fine balance between its foreign and economic policy. You know, for example, India purchased discounted oil and gas from Russia, but weren't singled out the way we were, perhaps. So I think there's a lesson to be learnt around the narrative that one advances and how one positions itself. But in the second instance, I think what would we like to see more coming out of AGOA? Now, our trade deficit or trade balance, I should say, with the US is one of the better trade balances. And I think traditionally what we do as a country is we export a lot of raw materials and then we import the finished product at significantly higher prices. So I would like to see more programs linked to greater industrialization activity, advancing further, particularly advanced manufacturing on the continent and in our own country, and then also opening up greater SME opportunities. And very often you do that through backward and forward linkages, through industrial endeavors. So we should never forget that, you know, industrialization is for big and small businesses. It's usually the big businesses that produce the products, but the smaller businesses very often provide the downstream activities. So I'd like to see a greater linkage between the two and certainly a more advanced industrial endeavor between the two countries.
Well, Stavros, we'll keep speaking to you, especially as we do see the final, you know, act and pact, all of it coming together. Thank you so much for speaking to us this evening. It's been a
thanks
pleasure.
Thanks very much for having me.
Wonderful.
Thank
go
you.
Well. That was Stavros Nicolaou. He's council member at the BRICS Business Council.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.